Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 30th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our 2 of 2 in the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Now, let's see here. Last hour, we talked about Donald Trump's prime time presidential State of the Union address tonight. We talked about Senator Rand Paul introduced a bill prohibiting the Department of State and U.S. aid from sending foreign aid to Pakistan, $2 billion a year, and to take that money and redirect it to the State Highway Trust Fund. Well, that ought to be done. And we talked about Donald doubling down. Trump says Pakistan in the first tweet of 2018, nothing but lies and deceit. It's not only Pakistan we give a ton of money to. We pay the the Palestinians hundreds of millions of dollars as well, and we get nothing back, not even respect. We also talked about this abortion ban failure. We're one in seven nations out of 198 nations, ladies and gentlemen, that still promote pro-death agenda. We have the majority in the House, the Senate, the White House, the courts. The Republicans claim they're pro-life. When they get the chance, they blame it on the filibuster. What a disgrace, ladies and gentlemen. But the Donald is pleading with the Senate. Let's see. Trump asked Senate to reconsider protect life legislation. Amen to that. Our prayers are with the Donald to get that done. So let's talk a little bit about the State of the Union, Kurt. Looks like Home Depot's in the news, huh? You say, well, what does that have to do with the State of the Union, huh?
Good question.
Yeah, Home Depot hourly employees are in the news, Kurt. They're going to receive up to 1,000 bonus dollars due to tax reform.
It's a CNBC.com piece, and it's part of the whole tax deal, isn't it? They say they're still evaluating how new tax legislation will impact the business in fiscal 2018, but they said it should be beneficial. Lauren Thomas is the writer there. Home Depot, they say, joins a growing list of corporations using new tax benefits to invest in their workers. What do you think workers will do with that money? Then they say
probably pay off debts, sadly.
Well, yeah, but if they do, then at least they'd be.
I agree. Sure, that's good. I just wish they didn't have the debts and they could use the money for savings or for other purposes. Yeah. But your point's well taken. I completely agree.
They say certain additional expenses and the bonus payments will negatively, they say, impact Home Depot's fiscal 2017 earnings.
See, I don't agree with that. I mean, if you narrow it down like that, then maybe. Because all you do is take a slice of reality and pretend that's the whole pie. Yeah, it might have a temporary setback for 17, but all I'm telling you is in the bigger picture, you're creating a bigger pie and more prosperity. There's no doubt about it. And I don't like that teeny little slice they take to. You can make anything negative if you put together a small enough sampling of reality, Kurt.
That's right. Good point, Sam.
It's a disgrace. Anyway, good news. Do you think Donald's going to be talking about the company after company after company after company after company? I can go on because there's hundreds of them that have.
He could.
He ought to. Yeah. Not only could he, but he should, Kurt.
Good point.
You want to know why?
Well, it's the truth, right?
Yes, and because it's moving more towards the economic engine that made America the envy of the world, Kurt. The best economic engine ever known to man, which is a free enterprise system, Kurt.
Good point.
You got to back that. You got to support that. You got to double down if you're going to make America great again. You got to talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
I mean, in my opinion, it's one of the geniuses, one of the blessings, one of the great news stories. You know, that Governor Bradford story we talk about on Thanksgiving is a real testament to what can happen, Kurt, when you embrace true principles.
Is.
And that's why America's so great. It's not that we're better than other races or better than other peoples. It is that God has blessed us and smiled upon us as we keep his commandments and we're a Christian nation. And then he's taught us principles. He's the author of liberty. He's taught us principles that allow us to prosper and to do well. And I hope we could teach those principles to the rest of the world, Kurt. Because I'd like to make all those other countries great again, too. I'd love them to embrace the principles that make America great, because then they'd be great again. They'd get rid of despots and dictators and things like that in their countries, and that learn to have, you know, checks and balances and govern themselves, that have a needful, proper role of limited government. And it'll be a tremendous thing, Kurt. I'd love to see it everywhere, to all peoples. See how racist I am?
Yeah. And, just imagine if every country were great again. Then do you think everybody would be trying to leave their country and come to America?
Oh, good point. Although when you say great again, I'm not sure some of these countries were ever very great, though.
Yeah, I know. But
and they could
know,
be.
The point is they'd be better, you know.
Yeah, and they could be great, though, if they just obey the principles that make countries great. They could have individuals that are great. If they just obey God's commandments, they'd be great individuals and great families. And then naturally, great countries would follow, Kurt, because it's all about, you know, the individual relationship with the Almighty and then families, the fundamental unit of society. And no nation is any stronger than its individuals and or families. And the more they're obedient to God, the more they focus on traditional families and values and principles. Look, it can work for anybody, Kurt. I don't care what color. Yep. I don't care what religion. I don't care what country. It'll work for all of them, Kurt. The principles are true.
Great point.
And when embraced, there's success, Kurt.
Imagine that.
So when Home Depot decides to reward their folks, I'm not going to just run around and go, it's going to be a hit to their whatever filing and all this garbage. I'm just going to say it's fantastic. And I hope those people
work. Invest in those employees and make them happy. What are they going to do?
Work harder.
Yeah. And treat your customers right. And then what happens?
People come back to Home Depot and buy stuff.
I mean,
work on home projects and such.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, dad's hanging out with son, and they're building something together in the yard, and Home Depot's prospering, and the wife smiles while she's, you know, seeing her husband and her son out there doing stuff together, and just good things start to happen everywhere. That's now, I know folks just can't stand that, though, Kurt. You know what I mean?
Well, they get ticked off about it, I guarantee you.
Heard that. All right, the Conservative Heritage Foundation is in the news as well, and they kind of did a pre-State of the Union, right, Kurt?
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. You know, and the headline from the GatewayPundit.com says, a Conservative Heritage Foundation rates Trump's first year better than Reagan's. Newsflash, subheadline, you know, it's a little longer, says, newsflash to conservatives in the Republican Party. According to the Heritage Foundation, President Trump did an amazing job in his first year in office, even better than conservative and American icon President Ronald Reagan. Then they say the New York Times reported that the Conservative Heritage Foundation ranks President Trump as doing even better than Ronald Reagan. Wow.
What do you think about this, Kurt? Do you agree with them?
Well, if you look at the numbers, Sam, as far as I've been able to see and analyze, there's truth there.
I know, Kurt, but do you want to embrace the truth or do you just want to hate on the Donald?
Well, I'm for the whole truth thing, Sam.
Oh,
I mean, that sounds kind of crazy.
So Reagan did good, but Donald's done better. And you know what? There are some concerns about Donald, and that swamp's sure hard to drain and all those kind of things. But let's give credit where credit's due. The Heritage Foundation is right, Kurt. I agree with you. And, yeah, there's things that I wish were different. I wish the Senate would stand for pro-life. But I'm glad we have a president that has proof in the pudding that he's pro-life, Kurt.
Good point.
Okay, we could talk about, oh, well, Donald used to be for abortion, and Donald's flip-flopped. No. Stop all the garbage. Let's just look at what he's done since he's been in office. What track record does Donald have of pro-life action?
Yep.
And he has a track record, Kurt, a solid one over the last year of doing the best he can for this.
You know, and by the way, you know, hats off to the Heritage Foundation. It was really nice of them to let us use their studios when we were back there. I mean,
that was a long time ago, man, Kurt.
I know, but it was just nice.
It was nice.
I mean, they didn't even say, well, no, you know, you guys aren't from, you know, around here.
I think what they said is you guys are racist and you're not using it.
Yeah.
No, they didn't.
Anyway, you know, in this piece, it says, Heritage began developing in 2016 a list of 334 policy prescriptions that a new Republican administration could adopt.
All right, let's talk about this, because these details are fascinating.
Yeah.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to take a quick break. I don't want Kurt to get interrupted. I want him to be able to rock and roll. So hang tight. We'll do it in seconds. We're talking about the Heritage Foundation claiming that Donald's had a better first year than even Ronald Reagan. And our research shows they're correct. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
The Heritage Foundation has done a lot of work, and they claim that Donald's first year in office is better than even Reagan's was. And our research shows this to be correct, Kurt. You were saying they did kind of a detailed study in 300 and how many initiatives did they believe the Republican, if they moved the needle on these 300 plus things that would make America great again or make America better, right?
Well, that's right, Sam. I mean, the Heritage Foundation, they're being proactive instead of doing the whole, we don't like this, we don't like that, we don't like this. You know, they were saying, hey, here's 334 policy prescriptions that a new Republican administration could adopt. That's a pretty good list.
And I would just replace could and should, but I'm with them.
That's right. Good. It included a variety of actions, they say, like reimposing work requirements for welfare recipients.
Hey, Donald's working on that, folks.
I know. And some other states are as well. It says ending the program that shields young immigrants brought here illegally as children, withdrawing from the Paris Climate Accord.
Hey, Donald's done and working on those, right?
That's right. And eliminating certain gender identity protections. Heritage said that 64% of those items were enacted by the administration either through executive order or another means of enforcement or included in Mr. Trump's budget.
Now, let me stop you there, though.
Which has not been voted on by Congress.
And mm-hmm. Let me stop you there, though, and say that, you know, some of this by executive order, you would say, well, maybe he shouldn't be doing that by executive order. But hold on. When I criticize that or question that, oftentimes I find out that they've done their research and it was enacted by executive order and it's just simply being reversed or undone. So he would have every authority to undo what was done, especially if it was done unconstitutionally. He should be able to undo it. That's number one. Number two, oftentimes he's done his very best to use the executive order very carefully to go far enough what he can do on his own through an executive order, but then encouraging Congress to carry the ball even further, which is, for example, why he's done some things that now, what did you say about the budget, Kurt? This is important to kind of understand, because he's gone as far as he could go, and then he lets the Congress carry the ball for the rest when he feels like it might be too much presidential authority here, right?
Good point. Yeah, these are things that are included in his budget, which, by the way, they say has not been voted on by Congress. They say in Reagan's first year, only 49% of Heritage's wish list items were embraced by the president or enacted. So he's got 64, Reagan had 49. At the time, Heritage identified a familiar problem for why the administration's policies were wanting. In almost every federal agency, Heritage said in November of 81, delayed appointments, unqualified or misqualified appointments, or the appointment of individuals who are not committed to the president's goals and policies had delayed or thwarted policy changes. President Trump incurred his fair share of challenges during his first year, but his results were historic.
I agree, and I would say in both cases, they're just unprepared for how abusive, hostile, and evil and pervasive the swamp really is, Kurt. I think that's really
good
the case
point.
For both men, unfortunately, right? And I'm sure you and I would be shocked
if
we were confronting it, too.
Yeah, that's right. We're shocked with what we know.
Just imagine if you became president, what you'd know. My goodness. It's amazing these guys can even keep working at it without getting too discouraged. But all I can tell you is that's good news. And, it seems like every conservative group has a lot good to say about the Donald, Kurt. There's concerns, and I'm not going to avoid those. But I'm telling you, there's a lot good here, and we've got to celebrate it. WorldNet Daily put together, what do they have? What's that list they have? A Thank Trump campaign where they got a list of 100 and some odd. Now, these aren't necessarily things that they think would be a good idea that then Donald has embraced or done. These are things that they just document that Donald's already done, right? So it's a slightly different list, but the principles are the same, right? Let's focus on the good being done.
Let's see, what is it, 170, 180 things that he's done in the first 360-something days or whatever. And then, like you said, the thank you, thank the president for doing these things, they're right on target, I believe. You got to promote that and build
on it. Anything else in this that we ought to mention?
I don't see anything more on the, they do say this right at the end. They do say, hey, thank the president. And, I would add, pray for the president, Right?
Wow, Kurt.
I know.
You, me, and Ben Carson getting it done.
Good point.
All right. Mm-hmm. Hey, Kurt, does Google Home know who Jesus is?
Apparently not, Sam.
Folks are saying no, but I asked Alexa that same question, Kurt. Alexa, who is Jesus?
What was your response?
Here's what I found on Wikipedia. Jesus, also referred to as Jesus of Nazareth or Jesus Christ, a Jewish preacher, a religious leader.
Maybe she's learning.
Christians believe him to be the true Son of God, the Messiah. Christ prophesied of in the Old Testament. She's spot on, Kurt. Alexa got it done.
Yeah, maybe she's learning.
Mm-hmm. No, hold on. There's Google.
Oh,
Home,
and then there's
Alexa. They're two different devices, Kurt. They're competing devices, in fact. And I got the one that believes in Jesus. Well, the one that acknowledges Jesus, I should say.
Yeah, good. Right? At least she knows who he is.
Heard that.
Yeah, good point. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Alexa, do you know who Sam Bushman is? She says, sorry,
yes.
I don't know that.
Miss Alexa.
It just proves I don't think I'm on the status of the Savior, Jesus. But I am a follower. I can take comfort in that.
Got some news for you, Sam. It looks like it's some places where they sell gold and silver, you can use Bitcoin to buy it.
Well, I'd trade Bitcoin for gold and silver any day of the week.
Yeah, you know, that's, you know. That's
all right, well, trade in all your Bitcoins, Kurt. Get some silver and, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
They did a new study, Kurt, about the worst states in the union.
A new study.
Do you know what the worst states in the union are? One group.
The worst. You know, I thought I read this and it said something like Florida's worst state in the union. And I'm like,
there's
what?
One study that says Florida's the worst state in the union, Kurt.
And I was like, how does that work? I mean, I thought they didn't have an income tax. I thought they had pretty good weather. They got a lot of wide open spaces where, you know, at least we've got friends that live there. And
Do you see why they say it's the worst? Did you read their details, Kurt?
I'm trying to remember what it said.
You got
to
research that. After the pause, we'll talk about it. But the headline says Florida, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and Illinois are the worst possible states to live in, but Louisiana and Mississippi aren't much worse, or aren't much better, I should say.
All right.
You know, what do you think of that, Kurt?
Well,
now, here's the question you got to ask. What criteria are you going to use, Kurt?
Good point.
Right? What's going to be your measuring stick? Now, first off, you know, when you live in Florida, you pretty much live on what, a swamp, Kurt?
Well, I think you live close to the ocean. Yeah, is that what you mean?
Right. Yeah. So there you go. Anyway, I want to talk about this a little bit more because what's fascinating to me is I would agree with you that I don't know that I'd agree that Florida is one of the worst states. I also don't know that I'd agree that Louisiana, Mississippi are. Now, they're more poor states, Kurt, all three of them.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a lot of poor people in those three states for sure.
Some of the best folks in the world.
But
probably.
They're some of the best people in the world, Kurt, and I don't know that money or wealth or, you know, is the key to success. I would, you know, really question a lot of those Northeast liberal states. Like, for example, you know, Connecticut. I'm not so sure that's a state that I want to promote. Illinois. You know, these states are liberal as all get out. They're controlled by a huge liberal faction and stuff like that. You know, and I think some of the most expensive states, like California, is incredibly expensive. See, but they don't pick all that. But it all comes down to what? A criteria discussion, Kurt? Do you think?
Good point.
I mean, you know, so let's look up some of the criteria they're using. Let's talk about it because I disagree with their whole way of going about it. And I'll tell you what factors I would use to determine what the best and worst states are, Kurt. Some of it would be economic, but not all of it. Because look, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you have an income tax or a property tax or whatever these taxes are. Usually there's what's called a cost of living index, and taxes are included in that. And what oftentimes is if they get rid of one of the taxes, they just have through the stratosphere a different tax, right, Kurt?
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes that's the case, right?
Good point.
So let's look up the criteria here they're using, and I want to highlight what my criteria would be. I would have a completely different sense of what matters, if you will, than they will. We'll talk about it. Sam and Kurt, Liberty Roundtable Live. The Donald State of the Union tonight. I want to hear what you think of it tomorrow, okay? We're going to break it down as well.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, so the worst states according to these rankings are the worst one is Florida, 50, 49, Delaware, 48, Ohio, 47, Arizona, 46, Utah. Did you see that, Kurt? 46 is Utah.
Yep. 45, Mississippi, 44, Connecticut, 43, North Dakota, 42, Missouri, 41, Nevada. They say 40, Nebraska. This is the guys at ThrillList.com put this together. It's a travel site. 39, South Carolina, 38, Rhode Island. 37 Idaho, 36 West Virginia, 35 Kansas, 34 Georgia, 33 South Dakota, 32 Oklahoma, 31 Virginia, then you've got 30 Massachusetts, 29 Alabama, 28 Indiana, 27 Illinois, 26 Wyoming, 25 Iowa, 24 New Hampshire, 23 New Mexico, 22 New North Carolina, New Jersey, then you got 20 Maryland, 19 Arkansas, 18 Montana, 17 Vermont, 16 Alaska, 15 Oregon, Tennessee, New York is 13, they say. Pennsylvania at 12, 11 Texas, you've got Colorado at 10, California at 9, Washington at 8, Minnesota 7, Hawaii 6, Louisiana 5, Wisconsin 4, Kentucky 3, Maine 2, and number 1, they say, you know, the best state is Michigan.
Now, here's what's interesting about this. They say that, you know, they've done studies before on food and drink and on this and on that and all these other weird things. And now they say this one's on everything, Kurt.
Right.
What does that mean?
I disagree with them, these numbers.
It all depends on what you mean by everything, Kurt.
And who's doing the scoring.
All right. Now, I would completely reverse the list. And let me tell you the criteria that matters most to me. I want a religious state that believes in Christianity. And I'm not saying Mormonism, even though I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a Mormon. But I'm fine with just general Christianity. I don't have a litmus test, but I do have a, you know, it's important to me that God, family, and country be at the top of the list, Kurt. And where are some of the most God-fearing, family-oriented patriots in the country, right? I mean, I would start there. What states in the union do you think are the most family-friendly, Kurt?
Well, I think they're typically some of the lowest tax states. That's where you could start, I think.
Yeah, pretty easy. It's a good way. If you want to start economically speaking, sure. Mm-hmm. There's 10 cheapest states to raise a family. 2018's best and worst states to raise a family. The best and worst states to raise children, according to CNN. All right, what do you think, Kurt? Look that up. The 10 best and worst states to raise a family. And while you're doing that, it's Hub Wallet.
Okay.
Or Wallet Hub, sorry. Got it backwards there. It's my dyslexic state. But I look at God, family, and country, and some of the most religious states are the states in the South, and the states in the Rocky Mountains are the most religious states that I know of, Kurt. Therefore, that Christianity viewpoint has a very, very high value on family and country. So I submit to you that I would start by, embracing three areas of the country: the South, the Rocky Mountains, and what, Kurt, the Midwest, the heartland of America, if you will. And the places I would reject would be the coastlines, because they're so expensive and they're very hostile to raise a family. I mean, if I were to try to live in, say, San Francisco and raise my family, I mean, I'd have to have a $5,000 house payment or something crazy. Maybe more. My house payment right now is right around $1,000.
Now I see the 10 best and worst cities to raise a family, CNBC.com. I don't see.
You didn't see Wallet Hub? States, you didn't type in Wallet Hub?
Oh, yeah.
You got to type that in if you want to find it, Curtis. 2018 family, best state, Wallet Hub, kind of thing. But I look at that and I would get rid of the coast because they're super expensive. I would also get rid of the states, in my mind, that are very liberal states. For example, Illinois is not on the coast, but Illinois is controlled by Chicago. It's incredibly crime-ridden. It doesn't have the right to keep and bear arms in that city really at all. I don't think it's a very God-fearing, family-oriented, country-loving city by any stretch. Right? And so, see, I would start to, get rid of a lot of those cities. Now, I agree New York's a great state if you get out of New York City, but a lot of times some of those big metropolitan areas have way too many people, too.
Yeah, and what they do is, because they have so many people, they typically control the state house and the votes and that kind of thing, and so they raise your taxes even though, you're really not part of them.
Yeah, so did you find that? Family-friendly states yet?
Yes.
Okay, go. What do they show?
Well, Richie Bernardo, a senior writer there, they say the main findings, best and worst states to raise a family. So this would be the best. Massachusetts is the best.
Let me just ask you, though. Again, that's one of the most liberal states where they promote abortion. It's nicknamed Taxachusetts because it's very tax expensive just to drive around. You have all kinds of toll roads. Now they say.
And they've got Minnesota number 2, New Hampshire number 3, North Dakota number 4, Vermont number 5, Wisconsin number 6, New York 7, Iowa 8, Nebraska 9, California 10. Top 10. Utah comes in at number 16. What else you want to know?
See, so I reject that. You take California and New York and Massachusetts and Maine and, or, not Maine, I'm sorry, Connecticut. So they say they're the most liberal states. Illinois, some of the most liberal states of the union, Kurt. So I would look at things like right to keep and bear arms, low cost of living, less taxes, family friendly. So, for example, do you want a red state or a blue state to start out, Kurt, in?
Well, probably red, right, Sam?
Yeah, now I'm not really here to back the Republicans, but thing. I am here to back the greater principles that the platform supports. Now, I know some of them don't obey the platform, but I'm going to start with Republican. I'm going to start with Christian. I'm going to start with family-friendly. Okay, I've been to a lot of states in the union. You know what? If I bring my big family with me, Utah doesn't even blink an eye. Most states look at me and go, what's wrong with you guys? You got so many kids. Mm-hmm. What's up with you guys? What do you think you are, populating the world all by yourself kind of thing? Okay, so I would have a completely different ranking than these people. Mm-hmm. And I personally think the Rocky Mountains have some of the best states in the union. Number one, they're some of the safest states with the least amount of natural disasters. The reason I'm not too fond of Florida personally is, hey, they just get too many hurricanes down there, Kurt.
Whole lot of puffing going on.
Okay, and a lot of these places are super liberal. You know, so I mean, I look at it and say, you know, the top states that I would basically put would be like Utah, Idaho, Wyoming would be the three top states that I'd put. The problem that I have with Arizona is it's on the border, and so there's a lot of crime because of that. I wouldn't put Arizona in the mix. You know, I personally think Missouri and some of those states are some of the better ones by far. Texas. But, you know, I think completely differently than they do. I think God, Family, Country is how I kind of rate mine. Wow. Now, when you look at economy, if you just take economy, you know, Utah does very well, economically speaking. If you want to talk about educated, you know, employee or population, Utah does very well. But again, it all depends on how you rank it. See, they're going to look at Utah or some of these states that are pro-life and pro-family and everything else, and they would call that a negative, Kurt. You want to know why?
Sure.
Because we're not big embracers of the, quote, new family, Kurt. Yeah, we got our head stuck in the sand of the traditional family, see?
I guess CNBC's got their list of best places to raise a family and worst places to raise a family. You get 10 cities on each list.
Let's hear them real quick.
Best places to raise a family, the cities they say are Overland Park, Kansas, number one, Madison, Wisconsin, number two, Plano, Texas, number three, Seattle, Washington, number four, Fremont, California, number five, Minneapolis, Minnesota, six, Virginia Beach, Virginia, seven, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, eight, Irvine, California, nine, and Lincoln, Nebraska, number 10. You want to hear the worst?
Sure.
They say Birmingham, Alabama, number one, worst place. Detroit, Michigan, number two. San Bernardino, California, number three. Shreveport, Louisiana, number four. Hialeah, Florida, number five. Miami, Florida, number six. Jackson, Mississippi, number seven. Augusta, Georgia, number eight. Newark, New Jersey. And Memphis, Tennessee, number 10. Worst places to raise a family.
All right, when we come back, we'll break it down a little further. What's the most patriotic state? How do you define that? How do you define patriotic, huh, Kurt? All right, Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Getting advice from a teenager is a little unusual, but please listen to me. If you find yourself pregnant and you're scared, I've got some advice because I've been there. My boyfriend wasn't ready to be a father, and frankly, he wasn't all that interested after I told him I was pregnant. My friends told me I should keep the baby because it would be fun. Well, having a baby is about the baby. It's not about whether I have fun. Some people told me my parents would help take care of the baby, but my baby still wouldn't have both a mom and a dad of her own. And that's really important to me. After putting my feelings aside, I made the best decision I could for my baby. Not because I felt it was easy, but because I felt it was right.
Adoption. It's about love.
I didn't give my baby up. I gave her more.
A message from LDS Family Services.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today. And you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor Score test today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Hey, Kurt, they even rank states by how much you hate the New England Patriots. Speaking of the Super Bowl coming up, Kurt, did you know that? You can find out which state hates the Patriots the most. I mean, these people are nuts. But it all determined by the lens that you're looking through, Kurt, and what you hold dear and what matters to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally would put the Rocky Mountain states, you know, the mountain of the Lord, if you will, at the top. I believe they're some of the most family-friendly, clean, prosperous, well-educated Christian states. I'd put Utah, Idaho, and Wyoming in that list. When it comes to, you know, the South, I'd probably pick Texas. And Florida maybe second. I think some of the Carolinas and Georgia's pretty nice, too. I'm not against some of the other states, but there, you know, there's a lot of crime in a lot of those states. There's a lot of racial strife in a lot of those states. That, to me, is quite a negative. Border states, I usually don't go for very much. Mm-hmm. States that are on the coast, very expensive to live and prone to all kinds of natural disasters, I don't support too much. Liberal states, I don't support too much. But it's kind of interesting. You know, I look at that, and I would say basically the top states in the union for me to consider living would be Utah, Idaho, Wyoming, and then it would probably be like a Missouri, then a Florida kind of thing, Texas. Those are the states that I would consider. What about you, Kurt?
I'm sure I'd pretty much agree with that. You mentioned educated ones.
Yes, sir.
The CNBC.com boys have their list of the most educated and least educated cities across the U.S. You want to hear the most or the least first?
Not least.
All right, so the least educated cities, there's 1, 2, 3 of them out of Texas, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of California. So you got McAllen, Texas, number one, least educated. They say Brownsville, Texas, number two, Visalia, California, Bakersfield, California, Modesto, California, Fresno, California, and Salinas are the next five there. And then number eight, Hickory, North Carolina. Number nine, Lafayette, Louisiana, and Beaumont, Texas, number 10 of least educated cities in America, they say.
How about the most educated? Oh, yeah.
Which way do you want it? From 10 down or 1?
Sure.
Okay. Number 10, most educated city, Tallahassee, Florida. Uh-huh. Number 9, Austin, Texas. Number 8, isn't Austin where Alex Jones is? Anyway.
Yes, sir.
Number 8, San Francisco, California. Number 7, Provo, Utah. Number 6, Boston, Massachusetts. Number 5, Madison, Wisconsin. Number 4, Durham, North Carolina. Number 3, San Jose, California. Number 2, Washington, D.C. Number 1, Ann Arbor, Michigan. But that does show you that education doesn't really save you, right, Sam?
When
you
go I hear that. DC number but two. See, to me, all education is not equal either. Like, I'd much rather have a degree in following Jesus Christ than Good I would point. Have a Harvard degree, personally.
Yeah, common sense degree. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Google Home doesn't even know who Jesus is, so there you go.
Good point.
What's the most educated bot out there? All right.
I don't know that.
Now, I guess they got water problems in Africa, Kurt? Cape Town, is that what you were talking about?
Well, that's right, Sam. It looks like, they say they're talking about ground zero or something like that, you know, that or day zero, that's what they call it. And the headline from the Associated Press and dailymail.co.uk is where it really comes from, but it says, day zero water shutoff looms in South Africa's Cape Town. They say long lines of South Africans collect water daily from a natural spring pipeline in an upscale suburb of Cape Town, illustrating the harsh impact of a drought that authorities say could force the closure of most taps in the country's second largest city in just over 2 months. Sam, do you think they're going to run out of water?
Well, I got this idea, Kurt. wicked governments get out of the way and we allow the free market to work, I believe they'll have plenty of water if they turn to God. If they ignore God and we allow wicked government to get in the way and deny the people, then they'll have trouble with water. One, because they turn their backs on God, and number two, because they let wicked governments prosper among them. I believe those are the two biggest reasons that we struggle for natural resources, whether it be food, water, stability in countries, safety. I mean, it goes on and on and on. But I'm telling you right now, I believe those are the clear factors. If people turn to God and they reject wicked government, then people are blessed. When we allow wicked government to take root and get above us, and then when we turn our backs on God, you know what? You'll always be searching for something. You'll always be struggling with natural disaster and famine and food and water shortages and all these, you know, problems. To me, the solutions are clear, Kurt. But, of course, the mainstream educated folks would just laugh me right off the stage, wouldn't they, Kurt?
Well, they never seem to have a place for, suggesting things like, let's post the Ten Commandments and try to get people to follow them and... that way we'll make sure that the God of heaven who's in charge of the water, he might send some.
Yeah, you had a Donald Trump piece, Kurt. It talks about America slips in the eyes of the world. I want to bring this up because it really relates right before the State of the Union, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. Certainly, Sam, that's the way it works. The headline reads, Donald Trump's first year as president rattles world's confidence, while quiet, stable Switzerland remains the number one country. Well, you know, I just think it all depends on who's writing the story, Sam, don't you think? Because in the eyes of the world, I think there's a whole bunch of world elites and even big shots business-wise who go, man, that's a smart move, President Trump. Lots of smart moves. That's what I see. I don't hear him saying, man, I'm going to go reinvest in Switzerland. But, you know, hey, maybe that's what's happening. Maybe I'm just out of touch.
So what do you think? What's the answer, Kurt? I mean, everybody had a ton of confidence under the Barack Hussein, and now they just lost confidence? Is that what's really going on? Do you believe that?
No, it's a lie, Sam. It's fake news, as President Trump would say, right? That's the way I see it. You know, I was looking at some other news from, for example, you mentioned this FBI deal where the guy, where they were so-called going to release this memo, whatever that means. I mean, it used to wasn't a memo, like a little 3x5 piece of paper, you know? And I'm pretty sure this memo's going to be kind of long. But anyway, they say they're going to release it, of course, if President Trump looks it over and wants to release it. But one Department of Justice official reacted to the exit of the top boy there, and he says there's some politics at the FBI.
Really?
What do you say to that?
See, I don't know what he's thinking. They're above reproach down there at the FBI over there, Kurt.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I mean,
America
certainly
slips in the eyes of the world. And is it because the Donald's at the helm, Kurt, or is it because we've turned our back on God, or is it because the FBI is full of scandals, or what do you think the reason is?
Maybe that's what President Trump will do tonight. He'll have, look, I've got these special coins made up with the Ten Commandments on them, and my picture on the other side, and, I just want you to follow the Ten Commandments and bless America, and, remember there's that part that says, thou shalt not kill, so we don't kill babies anymore. I mean, imagine if he brings that up, huh?
You know what I think is the problem, Kurt?
What's that?
Well, they tell you this is one of the best states, but I just reject this notion. It's California. California considers a big old rip and fine for waiters, Kurt. Tell them the details, and I'm not moving to this state no matter how much you pay me.
Yeah, they've got...
So you're allowed solicit sex, but don't you dare solicit this item, folks.
Well... That's right.
By the way, they say this sucks, just so you know.
It says, California considers a $1,000 fine for waiters offering unsolicited plastic straws. And like you said, the subheadline, this sucks. Christian Britschigy is the author. Ian Calderon wants restaurateurs to think long and hard before giving you a straw. He's the Democratic majority leader in California's lower house, and he has introduced a bill to stop sit-down restaurants from offering customers straws with their beverages unless they specifically request one. Under his law, a waiter who serves a drink with an unrequested straw in it would face up to 6 months in jail and a fine of up to $1,000. He said, we need to create awareness around the issue of one-time use plastic straws and its detrimental effects on our landfills, waterways, and oceans. Boy, I'll tell you what, this is the kind of guy we want for a president, huh, Sam?
That guy's a nut. Now, Kurt, I thought the whole purpose of good service was supposed to anticipate what I'm after. You know, so if I'm about to ask for a napkin or a straw or, like, you know, silverware or a menu or something or a glass of water or whatever, they're supposed to just be like, before I can ask, it appears, right, Kurt?
Well, what you really need is a straw that just falls apart, Sam. I mean, you don't want a straw.
Now, I did go to Seattle, though, and they had these straws that were recycled straws, Kurt, that were kind of neat. And then they had straws that were made out of
what?
They were recycled.
Oh, yeah.
And then they had these other straws that were made out of, what were they made out of? They were made out of some plant or something.
They say squishy moderates on the straw issue have pushed paper straws, which come compostable at only 8 times the price. EcoCycle skews a bit more radical with their Be Straw-Free campaign. In part by reusable straw makers that urges the adoption of glass or steel straws. I saw some steel straws lately, Sam. I didn't even know they made steel straws. But I guess that's what everybody needs is your own steel straw.
What were those straws made out of? They were like, oh, man, I'd have to look it up, but they were made out of some plant, Kurt. Biodegradable straw kind of thing.
Probably making them out of that hemp stuff.
I think they were in Portland or somewhere where I saw those and stuff like that. It was kind of interesting. We'll have to hunt that down. It's pretty interesting. But all I'm telling you is this is the kind of stuff where, man, I'm not moving to a state where they literally want to fine a waiter $1,000 for by mistake giving me a straw for crying out loud. I don't want to be running around begging for a straw. The guy's like, no, I might get fined. Can you please sign a document proving that you solicited a straw, not sex? That's what'll be happening to the waitresses down there, right, Kurt?
But just think of all the new workers, the straw police.
It was the S word. I solicited a straw, sir. I promise. This nation shall endure.